it's great to hear Joe Cocker. That track called Respect Yourself, and that's our theme music on Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us. Track with great messages about respecting yourself and others, and I think we may touch on that in this interview today. I'm host Sheldon Brown with technician Declan Curran, and this is Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us, brought to you and funded by Framework Trust. Today we talk about Look Up, an event next month which explores well-being through the youth voice. Youth and their mental health are grabbing headlines with a disturbing report from Otago recently saying children as young as 10 are suicidal. On the brighter side, the government announced last week funding of a $10.5 million pilot for free counselling for 18 to 25-year-olds over 3 years, described by one commentator as life-saving, which couldn't come too soon. On Take It From Us, we've talked to a psychiatrist about anxiety impacted teens and even tweens. That puts our guest, Nicole Simmons, somewhat in the hot seat, which is not really intended. Nicole is the project manager of Look Up, exploring well-being through youth voice, and works for Kahui Tu Kaha, formerly Affinity Services. So welcome, Nicole, to Take It From Us, your second experience on Mental Health Radio. How many years has Look Up run as a youth event?
Oh, thanks for having me, Sheldon. Look Up is in its fourth year.
Yeah. Right, so that 4 years of history, how has it grown?
In lots of awesome ways, I hope to. I hope so. So since 2013, 2014 was our first event. We've gone from 60 young people in a room with 60 health professionals to just last year we saw 189 students from 11 different schools represented.
And you had the health professionals there as well?
Yes, yeah, just a little less than the youth representation, which is what we aim for, of course.
Okay, so when you started, it was sort of virtually one-on-one.
Yes, it was, yeah. Which is good because we're seeing engagement from health professionals and service providers in that space, and now it's just been working on how do we engage the young people that we want to target and see that the schools support their presence on the day.
Right. Yeah. So those health professionals, where do they come from?
All over. I can give you a rundown of who might be there this year. So we work with Youthline quite closely. They run our chill out space and provide a lot of youth support. People like Rainbow Youth, the Mental Health Foundation, Auckland Sexual Health Services, CADS, Altered High, Sparks, Unitech. This year we're seeing LeVar and Mind and Body, and the list goes on.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely brilliant. So, I mean, this is about generating conversations so that youth can meet health professionals, can understand what sort of services they offer.
That's right, yeah. So it is. It is about creating a series of conversations between young people and health professionals and basically bringing those two worlds together into one space for one day to, for young people this year with being Youth Voice, to really, you know, utilize the platforms that are on offer to talk about what's important to them, and for then service providers and health professionals who work in the youth development sector to take advantage of and make the most of the diverse range of young people that are present there on the day and what they have to say about the services that they're part of.
So you describe them as a diverse range of young people. They all come from schools?
Yes and no. Originally we were sort of in the ADHB region, and I guess we now talk about Look Up as a regional event, and so it's kind of a first in, first serve call out to all the schools, goes out. We work very closely with 10 schools with ProCare's enhanced health base, you know, like the school nurses and guidance counsellors, and work on bringing youth health leaders into the space for the day.
So you mentioned ProCare, who are a primary health organisation. So how are they connected to this?
Yeah, so I have a wonderful team that sits helping, guiding me, I suppose.
Not just sitting, I hope.
It's doing things. Of course. They're actually very, very proactive, and it's amazing. So it's a ADHB-funded project held by and run by Kahui Tukaha. So I'm the representative of that. We also work in partnership with Connect SR, the paired up youth peer support program that's been running in Tāmaki College, and we've got great support from Te Oro, which is where we'll be this year. So we have, as I said, a very helpful team, which is part of my steering group. So we meet quite often, actually, just to talk over the intricacies of the event and make sure I'm staying to task and approaching the right things.
So you're as project manager, you're it in terms of it. This is really your event to look at. So Te Oro, whereabouts is that?
It's in Glen Innes.
Yeah.
98 Line Road.
No. Oh, 98 Line. Well, I think that's very important, and that would be very close to Tāmaki College, wouldn't it?
It is, and it's strategic in that way. Actually, the very first look-up event that we had in 2014 was at Te Oro, so it kind of feels like we've gone full circle. We've gone around the city, and now we're back. And
I think last year it was in Three Kings, wasn't it? Was it at Three Kings?
The Fickling Convention Centre.
Fickling Convention Centre, which is a popular place for mental health meets. So you've already outlined some of the organisations that are involved, and the funder of this is ADHB, or Auckland District Health Board. But are you saying that youth are welcome to come from other District Health Board areas?
Yes, of course. We work closely with organisations that bring youth that aren't necessarily in school as well, and I feel like it's really important to make sure that when we have this event that it is in a neutral space where anybody is welcome. The target range has been 13 to 25, which is quite a spectrum of age. So really, it's just an open door to whoever wants to come.
Yeah, well, when I talked about that new government funding of $10.5 million for free counselling for 18 to 25-year-olds, I wondered, in fact, whether that the age group that we're coming to look up would coincide with that age group that the government is targeting in this pilot, but obviously it does.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that whole area of counselling, is it readily available for young people, do you think?
I don't know. No. I don't know. I think it is, but there's always going to be barriers, I suppose.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Youthline and Lifeline, their funding has been undermined, I think. They are struggling to continue to provide their services, and yet their services appear to be hugely valuable and hugely important.
Yeah, I think depending on how easy access is to services, young people, anybody really is going to rely on using those kinds of helplines.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. So.
Is there a reason why helplines... Is it because you can remain a little bit anonymous? Is that one of the appeals of helplines? And I'm not saying necessarily just for young people, but probably for all of us.
I guess that's the age that we live in. I think there's an aspect to social media where there is a bit of a safety barrier behind a screen or behind a keyboard. And I think that that kind of allows us to broach things that may be a little bit harder to talk, about in person. So that is potentially one reason.
Well, I mean, when we're growing up, it's that's a while ago now for me, but I know that there were parts of my personality that I was quite uncomfortable about, but it's very hard to differentiate between growing up, you know, as a teenager and perhaps thinking, well, there's something a little bit more deep-seated here.
Mm.
Yeah, mm. so But, you know, I guess from my point of view, those issues were not diagnosed until I was about 35. So, you know, I went through a lot of anxiety and discomfort before recognising that this was sort of a diagnosable issue, I suppose. Yeah, so look up, you said it's at Tiora, but what's the date and the times and that sort of thing?
All the details.
All the details, yeah.
So it's Thursday, August 16th. It starts at 9:30 and will finish hopefully by 2:15, 2:30.
Right. Yeah,
it's a full day. It's free.
There's free food. Oh, wow.
There's 9 different workshops and 10, 12, 15 different organizations that have stalls and it's kind of expo space.
Right.
Yeah, with lots of activities and good youth engagement.
So those workshops, people can select what workshop they might want to attend. What are some of the things that you'll be delving into in those workshops?
Yeah, so we have the Mental Health Foundation running their 5 Ways to Wellbeing. This year we're also very excited to bring something a little different, which is Action Education running some spoken word workshops. So I think the ethos behind that was just to give young people another platform of how to express themselves and whatever, I guess, magic arrives from that. LeVar will be running a workshop on mental wealth. We also have sexual health. We've got some yoga. We've got some dance. We've got NetSafe as well.
With their
online safety and how to navigate those worlds.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's great to hear that the Mental Health Foundation is there with their 5 ways to wellbeing. I'm wondering whether I'm able to remember those 5, but I don't know that I can. Can you help me at all? But I know connect is one of them.
Yes, connect, give, take notice, keep learning, and be active.
Right. Now, they're a great 5 tips for maintaining our mental wealth. And you That's mentioned that term mental wealth, didn't you, with LeVar, which is the, I think they are the Pacific organisation.
They are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So there'll be a cultural element here as well.
Definitely. Yeah. I think we always try to make sure that our content is equally as diverse and accessible to everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're still, I mean, you've got an indication, have you, as to how many people have enrolled to date?
It's trickling in. It's trickling in. Yep. Right. I always have faith that schools have just returned from their school holidays.
Oh, of course.
Be scrambling to get all the paperwork done, but we're definitely expecting the same turnout as last year.
Yeah. So excuse me, they do register, do they, or they can just turn up on the day?
Yeah, no, it's a registration-only event, which just helps with health and safety and the fact that we provide catering for around 300 people.
Right, yeah. Well,
it's quite phenomenal, so it's really helpful if people register. We use Eventbrite.
Yeah. Oh, do you? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, excellent. So how can they register?
They can just put in look up in the search function for
Eventbrite,
or you can go to our website, which is lookup.org.nz, and there's a registration page there, which makes it very easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to date, do you know how many registrations you've got? I mean, can you take as many as come in, or is there a bit of a limit?
It's definitely a limit, yeah. So we try to, if we had 189 students last year, we're looking for 200 this year.
Wow.
And 100 health professionals. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, and then unfortunately, if we get too many over that, it's, you know, please sign up early for next year.
Right, yeah. So just going back to those workshops, I mean, say, for example, the 5 Ways to Wellbeing, how would that operate? I mean, this is sort of interactive, is it? It's trying to encourage youth to express themselves, to have a voice about whether these 5 ways to wellbeing apply to them and are relevant to them, I suppose.
Yeah, I had a great chat with the facilitator of that organisation and just encouraging them to think about how they're going to be interacting with youth in that space. So I'm not exactly sure what kind of activities they have planned. It's all probably a bit secret. but I know that it's going to be good. They'll have different stations for each, aspect.
Right.
Of the ways to well-being.
When you say stations...
Well, like different sections, that they can visit in the workshop, I suppose.
Right.
I have said, it'd be really great if, as long as there's a gem that they can take from their workshop that's really unique and personal to them and their own well-being, then I'm happy.
Right. Well, that's absolutely wonderful. Well, let's take a music break, and we're going to play a track which was the theme to Mental Health Radio Take It From Us a few years ago from The Found, called Long Gone. It's The Found, called Long Gone, and as I say, that was our theme music for Mental Health Radio a couple of years ago, and it's a great track from a New Zealand band. I'm not sure what's happened to The Found, but they came into the studio to talk, I thought, about their mental health, but they weren't so keen to talk about their mental health on that occasion. They just wanted to play music, so probably Nicole is feeling that if I just played music the whole time, she'd get off the hook. But we're talking today to Nicole Simmons, who is the project manager for this event coming up next month. And in fact, it's next month tomorrow, isn't it? So it's the 31st today. So, I guess it's coming down to the wire a little bit in terms of a look up this event exploring well-being through a youth voice. I mean, well-being is a wonderful It's a wonderful term. It's the other word, of course, is wellness, and Framework has changed its positioning statement, which is their sort of slogan, which goes with our brand Framework, and that change is from recovery through partnership to wellness through partnership. And I think wellness and well-being, our youth are enjoying well-being. I mean, I know that's a very generalised question, but, you know, I mean, I think there is some worrying statistics around young people, isn't there? Mm. And, you know, there is on the news today, they were talking on the AM show about synthetic cannabis and the huge and alarming jump in deaths from synthetic cannabis. Mm. Now, I'm not at all saying that any of those deaths might be related to young people, but there are all these things out in the community, in society, which are, I guess, threats to our young people.
Mm. Mm. Threats to humanity.
Well, the threats to humanity, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, sure.
And, but, you know, our young people do seem to be quite, some seem to be quite vulnerable to these, what do we call them? They're threats, or they're things that perhaps years earlier there wasn't exposure to those things.
Do you think so? I think they just might have looked different.
They might have looked different.
Or we just don't necessarily talk about it as much.
Right, so... Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's more visibility.
Right.
And I'm not saying that there isn't, you know, that it isn't worse now. I think we live in a very complex society that's always changing.
Right. Does that complexity make it difficult for young people growing up? I mean, just when I look at the number of options that people have, say, at school or university, you know, basically when I was at university, well, you were a teacher, a lawyer, a doctor, or maybe a journalist, you know. There weren't that many options. There weren't all these IT options and I guess all the other options it must be difficult to just make a choice. Where am I going to head?
Yeah, definitely. That's a very good question. I think there's definitely a lot more out there, and there's a lot more than people realise. So I think that's why it's really good to have events like these, where we are actually, the services are there. They're physically present. There's access to the information, and this is all about helping young people navigate some of life's toughest experiences. And, you know, I guess I'm a personal advocate for making sure that the services that young people then accessing are good quality and they're relevant to today's issues.
Right.
So, I was having a conversation with someone the other day just saying, you know, there are gaps in the sense that as soon as someone turns 19, they're accessing adult based services, which are not ideally youth friendly,
right.
You know, so a lot of the work that we do here, that I do, is about getting the voices of young people into those spaces to help with service design and delivery in a way that is, you know, based on positive youth development.
Right. So, I mean, That means that if they were looking to access a mental health service and they perhaps weren't paying for that service themselves and they needed to go to a community mental health centre, a CMHC, at the age of 19, that's where they would get help for their mental health, is it? Is that what you're saying? That there's that sort of cut off?
I mean, I'm sure there's many options. I'm not an expert on pathways
no.
To getting help, but
I guess the reason I raised this is because when I turned 65, I was no longer eligible for a community mental health service. So I had to go to a thing called MESOP, which is Mental Health Services for Older People. Mm. Now, at that time, I was working 40 hours a week, fully employed. I was playing tennis three or four times. Mm. I just didn't align myself with older people.
Right.
You know, and it was quite a shock to ring my community mental health centre because I needed to and find that, you know, despite they knew all about me and, you know, I'd had a history of service there and help and support, I could no longer access that.
Mm.
And it was quite alarming. And also, I mean, it raised the whole question of whether I could access services like, say, Framework or Toiora Live Arts. Mm. You know, it was this sort of ceiling going to impact what help and support I could call on.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think we all meet that ceiling regardless
what
age we are. And I think that the main issue that we're touching on here is access.
Right.
Making sure that there is easier access to the help when we need it.
Right.
Essentially, yeah.
And is that a conversation that's likely to happen at Lookup on the 16th of August?
I hope so. Yeah, I'm deeply passionate about how we can just fine-tune or
right.
polish up, I guess, service delivery. And there are a lot of people, professionals that come to this event that are really passionate about having those kinds of conversations.
Right. So it's also important to be able to transition from one service to the other without any hiccups or barriers, isn't it?
Yes, that would be ideal.
Yeah. Do you know whether that happens or not?
I don't. No. I think we can't really generalise people's experiences, and we know that there are a wide variety of, you know, good and bad.
Right.
But I don't know. The conversations, you know, need to continue on how to make that a more, easily accessible and streamlined process.
Right. I mean, connection is critical, isn't it, when we're dealing with mental health and addictions. Mm. And it sounds as though this event of yours, Lookup, is going to offer potential for connection.
Mm, definitely. Yeah, last year's theme was relationships, so that was really important. But I think that connection is just one of the founding pillars of Lookup. We are bringing lots of different worlds together into one space, and I think that already sets it apart and makes it unique, and that it has been very successful and it continues to grow. So, yeah, have experiences with other people face to face.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's talk. Put your cell phone in the back pocket.
Yeah. Or not. Take really good selfies with other people.
Right. Yeah, well, we had a little discussion, Nicole and I, over coffee last week, and, I got on my hobby horse, which was about connection and communication and the impact of social media or mobiles. But, on that front, if you like, I mean, do you identify any barriers to communication among our young people?
I mean, I think the same barriers have always existed. We think about social norms and expectations. They really shape what we can and can't talk about.
Right.
And I think that often adults assume that young people are going to ask for help. So I feel like we just need to be more engaged in asking the questions, providing the opportunities.
So when we ask those questions, I mean, I'm a great believer in the open-ended questions, the what, where, why, when, and how.
Mm.
Do you think that's going on?
Yeah, in general, or like, well, like in what context?
I'm terrible, aren't I? Well, I see and I hear so many Kiwis asking closed questions.
Right.
You know, did you enjoy whatever?
Yeah.
And it doesn't allow scope, expansion. It doesn't allow for, I mean, somebody who's confronted by such a closed question can say yes or no, and that's it.
Yeah, and they could be perfectly contented with that, Sheldon. I think people like to respond to questions in different ways.
Right.
So I think, you know, open-ended, you know, yeah, it does give more scope. It depends what you're looking for, I suppose. Yeah.
Well, I suppose what I would be looking for is a conversation.
Mm.
And because I think conversations lead to people trusting each other and feeling relaxed about perhaps opening up a little bit, you know, when they have an emotional challenge or...
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, I'm doing this work because I am passionate about having conversations that matter, but I'm also deeply aware that we still face these social norms and these expectations around what we can and can't talk about, and I feel like sometimes there's a nervousness there. So looking at work that helps change or bring awareness to the language that we use when we're talking about mental health or lived experience or all those kinds of things.
I mean, mental health is definitely high profile at the moment, isn't it, with the government inquiry into mental health and addictions, this announcement that I mentioned about this pilot program for young people between 18 and 25, the Herald series called Breaking the Silence, I guess the suicide rate. So do you think young people are sort of leveraging off this? That are they aware that there is this higher profile for talking about mental health and that it might be more conducive or, I don't know, more natural to talk about mental health?
I'm an optimist.
Right. I'm learning that about you,
Nicole.
I like
to think that we are heading in that way, that it is, I guess, yeah. If it becomes more popular, it's something that will sort of, I guess, become more comfortable talking about.
Well, it comfort is the thing, isn't it? Yeah, well, let's take another music break, and we're playing a range of music on Mental Health Radio today, and I've got a track from B.B. King called Let's Get Down to Business.
Well, let's get down to business. say I thought you loved me too. Now, now we're together, baby. What are you going to do? I said, whatever made us break up, baby, I don't know till the day. But if it was my fault, baby, I swear I'll change my ways. So let's get down to business. Yeah, let's get down to business.
Well, it's B.B. King with Let's Get Down to Business. B.B. King's, you know, an old rocker. I'm not sure it's quite appropriate for a discussion about youth and your big event, Nicole, which is coming up. Give us the details again on terms of when, where, and how people can register.
Great. So it's Look Up 2018 on the 16th of August, starting from 9:30 to 2:30 at Te Oro in Glen Innes. And if you want to find out more information, you can go to lookup.org.nz.
Yeah, well, that's the website, lookup.org.nz, and that leads us on to, I guess, the issue of social media and the communication that has changed dramatically. I mean, would you have any comments on the pros and cons of these sorts of changes?
Something I mentioned earlier was that I feel that I guess being behind a screen in some ways is interesting because it provides the opportunity to talk about things or broach topics and things that we wouldn't often talk about in person or start those conversations there. I think I'm not sure that we really know the impact that social media has on our lives and our well-being just yet. You know, I feel like we're so deep in it. But, I mean, I don't want to vilify it as well. I feel like, you know, providing the platforms for connection and to talk about things. Sure, there are lots of little wormholes in this distraction and, you know, conversations that we've sort of talked about, you know, not feeling as connected or that the conversations are as authentic. But
you yourself, do you spend a lot of time at the screen?
Yeah, definitely. I'm not going to deny that.
No. Well,
I enjoy the screen time. Like I make lots of good friends all over the world. I love that sense of connection globally.
Right.
You wouldn't get that.
No.
Without that.
And those friends overseas, I mean, are they people that you've known or you've just connected with them because you're on a platform where you're talking about the same sorts of things?
Yeah, definitely. A bit of both. Yeah.
Right.
So, I don't know. I like being able to talk to different people, you know, have different experiences to me. But I also love that it helps my family, my friends stay connected and I don't really have to look far if, you know, there's a show or, you know, there's this next big thing that's going on. But I do also recognize that it's important to take time and step back from that and actually connect in person.
Right.
And I feel like that's an irreplaceable, human experience. So.
Of being with somebody, having a coffee with them.
Definitely.
Or walking on the beach or whatever.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But it's a different layer, you know. I feel like, yeah, I don't know.
You don't feel that young people are escaping from that face-to-face connection, or some young people might be escaping and spending the majority of their time in front of a screen?
Well, I can't speak for the entirety of young people in that.
You're very reluctant to do that.
Yeah, well, because I can't.
No,
I can only speak for my own experience.
That.
But I'm sure that there are, you know, yeah. There's plenty of, you know, addiction and distraction and not feeling things. But I feel like it goes both ways,
yeah.
You know. It does provide a depth. It provides this opportunity for us to talk about things that are very hard in person.
Mm.
And or it presents, you know, this disconnect as well. And so, you know, it's a very complex situation, and I'm sure it's different from person to person. And I like to hope that, you know, you broach those things and then you meet up.
Right.
I was actually having a conversation with CADS about their tele, like online counselling stuff that they've been trying to pilot, and they're finding that young people will use it, but then they actually really want to meet in person.
Oh,
they actually want that face-to-face
right.
connection as a real person. So,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, you did mention just then addiction, the potential for addiction to social media. Is that going to be addressed at LookUp this year? I mean, will there be anybody there that can assist or support that issue?
We have a NetSafe.
Of course,
yeah,
right.
And they do wonderful work in schools and around. So I guess they'll be running a stall as well as having a workshop, and we've sort of highlighted looking at what is great about connecting online versus like what's not so good. How do we use our voice for good? And I guess helping young people think about navigating experiences when things go wrong and
right.
where they can go and how NetSafe can be part of that.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that they'll tackle addiction directly.
No,
You know, this may come up in conversation, but I think what's important is to just young people with the tools and resources to navigate that themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, are you aware of youth leaders? I'm just trying to think of youth leaders in mental health and addiction who are perhaps standing up and voicing their views at the moment. And when you and I had coffee, I talked about somebody, a young woman in Nelson, who has been very articulate about, I think, the closure or the integration of a service in Nelson, and she's been a real champion of trying to prevent this from happening. That's one of the few examples that I can think of. You know, it's always interesting to see whether there are people coming up to voice what the youth and represent youth. Are you aware of any in that sector?
Well, I think there's plenty.
Right.
I think last time we might have chatted about Lucy McSweeney, who was petitioning for mental health education schools at a much younger age,
right.
You know, and there's so much more momentum around that. So I think, you know, depending on what people are passionate about, you know, they're going to be petitioning for what they want.
Right.
But I can't think of anyone off the top of my head right
no.
now. But there's, yeah, amazing. It's an amazing platform to use
right.
to talk about things that we're passionate about and want to see change in that area.
Yes, yes. So you and your peers talk about the challenges of Kiwi youth. Is that something that you spend a bit of time conversing over?
Oh, woe is us.
Yeah. No, well, I'm
no,
not
I
suggesting
know.
It's woe. Well. Hey,
yeah,
so you're
hard.
Having the time of your life. You've
yeah.
got all these opportunities,
yeah.
the potential.
Yeah. I mean, we just talk about being human mostly. I think, you know, the approach that a lot of my friends and I and colleagues, when we're thinking about young people and what they're facing, recognizing that we are young people, you know, and so we have to, well, I'll speak for myself.
Yeah. Right.
I just want to, you know, as cheesy it is, be the change, you know, see how I can be a role model in my life and kind of, you know, lead those spaces. Talk about being honest in our experiences to the best of our abilities and sort of, you know, how we can stick to solution-focused ideas. We know that there are a lot of things that aren't so great, but what are the things that are working
yeah.
and how can we make those better and how can we provide the support for that? So,
how do you feel about the responsibility of this event and being the project manager? I mean, you are in many ways helping to lead the change.
Yeah. I feel blessed, actually. I feel absolutely privileged to be given this opportunity, and I was kind of handed that in its second year. I started out as a stallholder, just sort of representing my youth advisory group and the work we were doing at the time, and then to be asked if I would step into the project management role, mentored by somebody from the Auckland District Health Board, and from there, like, just how much I've grown and how much, you know, how passionate I am about my work.
Right.
You know, it's kind of, I take the year's theme and, you know, embody that, yeah. And I love being able to guide people in that space and bring those worlds together. And, yeah, I guess my dream is just that as long as there's one thing that they take from that day that's totally theirs.
Right.
That's success for me, and I love being part of this journey.
Right,
so
yeah.
It is a big responsibility, but I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and the benefits for you personally, have you experienced any benefits in being the project manager of this 3 years now?
Yeah, well, just I guess first before I say that, I just wanted to I guess acknowledge that there are a lot of people around me that support me. Kahui te kaha provide amazing support, and a lot of our staff will be there on the day as volunteers, you know, in our steering groups, and all the people who come to contribute to the workshops and the stalls, you know, it wouldn't be possible without them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just bringing all the threads together. So, but yeah, personally, I feel like I've grown a lot over the last 3 years.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it just helps me realize that I have more capacity than I thought I did. And I think it's just really rewarding to go home at the end of the day knowing that I'm doing what I love. Mm. And I'm being authentic as myself in that process. And yes, it's stressful, but it's totally worth it.
Okay, right.
So, I mean, I don't know if that answers
so,
it.
So, well, do you hope that this might lead on to further work in the youth space?
Yeah. I mean, I just kind of, I go where I'm meant to be. That sounds probably a bit woo-woo. But, you know, these are issues that are deeply personal to me. You know, I'm in this space because I've got experience there, and I want to see change, and I want things to be different, and I want young people to know that they have the ability to do that too.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's just wrap it up with the details again and how people can register the goal. That'd be great.
Cool. So that's 16th of August, 9:30 to 2:30 at Te Oro in Glen Innes. You can email us at info@lookup.org or visit our website, which is lookup.org.nz.
And this program will be on Planet Audio for the next few weeks. So if you want to rehear the program, then you can access it on planetaudio.org.nz/takeitfromus, all one word. So let's go out with our last track for the day. And this is called Take the Long Way Home.
Cool. Thanks for having me, Sheldon.
Take it from us, Community Notice Board.
Well, it's quite a bit happening in the mental health calendar in the next couple of months. We've got a recovery and employment session starting on August the 13th between 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. This is being run by Recovery International. It'll be at Level 3 at Westfield Tower in the mall at Manukau. If you want to learn how to create the ultimate CV or how to answer those difficult interview questions, get along to this recovery and employment session the 13th of August. You're eligible if you live in the county's Manukau District Health Board. You can call Recovery International on 263 6035.
And just before I mention this next movie, I've discovered there's one about the world surfing champion who died. I think it was a suicide. And the movie's coming out about him called Andy Irons, Kissing God or Kisses from God or something. That's coming out, I think, about the 18th of August. I'm definitely going to go and see that. He had bipolar. Didn't know that, but yeah. And this film immediately coming up, it's got psychologist and filmmaker Paora Joseph. He invites open discussion of suicide through the brave testimony of five grieving families. They travel up to Cape Reinga. The movie's called Maui's Hook. It's screening, or it's been screening at the New Zealand International Film Festival. Apparently the Academy Cinema is going to be showing that on Sunday, August the 5th at 6 p.m. But we urge you to check with Academy Cinema. It should hopefully come up in the newspapers as well that it is actually on. So that's the movie Maui's Hook. It's coming out Sunday, August the 5th at 6 p.m.
And Declan, we do hope to keep a bit of a check on where Maui's Hook is going to be screened. It's very much about suicide prevention. And in talking about suicide prevention, there is a coming up, this is in September, the 21st of September, a workshop preventing suicide using the solution-focused approach. This is going to be held at North Shore Hospital at the Whenua Pupuki building. It's brought to you by Grow Event Partners, which means that there is a cost. The day-long session between 9 and 3 on the 21st of September will cost you $170, but we'll continue to bring that to you in our community notices.
And I've got a notice here as well, an invitation to an August network meeting. It's on Thursday, August the 30th. And it's from 11:30 a.m. through to 1:30 p.m. It is at the Kauai Lounge, Windsor Park Church, 550 East Coast Road, Moringa Bay. So if you know where the KFC is, you can head in there and have lunch first. I might do that. So that's Thursday, 30th of August, 11:30 to 1:30. You need to RSVP to email address ourvoice, O-U-R-V-O-I-C-E, at equip.net.nz. Or you can phone them on 477-0338.
And I think there's a pretty good chance that lunch might be provided if it's between 11:30 and 1:30.
Otherwise, I'm running up for KFC and you can pick me up on the way if you like.
Okay. Well, the University of Otago is doing a study on antidepressants and wants to hear from anyone over the age of 16 who may have had side effects to any antidepressant medication taken within the last 2 years, or have taken antidepressants without any side effects. Now, this is an interesting study delving into the genetics of antidepressants and has the title of Do Antidepressant Medication Work For You? So we've got a slide out of this. You can get access.
Keep going.
Oh, okay. So you can go to bit.do/go-a-study. I think probably it would be better to email simran.majo, M-A-G-G-O, at otago.ac.nz. There is a participant information sheet that you need to fill out, and that will determine whether you qualify for that study.
And mental health, first aid, there is a free two-day community workshop, which I think sounds pretty good. You can go to that if you're 18 years and over and you're living in the county's Manukau District Health Board area. It's learning skills to support a person with a mental health problem on a or in a mental health crisis, I should say. And it's learning a five-step action plan. Okay, when and where? Saturday the 18th to the 19th of August from 9 till 4. It's at the Lee Bank Primary School Community Centre. That's at Dr. Pickering Ave in Manurewa. And to book a seat in the next workshop, you need to ring or text Anne Marie Higgins on 021 892 789. And their email address is ANNMARIE. At middlemore.co.nz, or you can contact Julie Segi, S-E-G-I, that's Jules, J-U-L-E-S, 452 at yahoo.co.nz. Her phone number 0210-293-7189.
And the Auckland Council is doing a major study into the Auckland's homelessness. This is called Auckland's Homeless Count. They're looking for volunteers, as many as 750 volunteers for finding out the views of Auckland's homeless. You can register your interest before the 17th of August this year. So I've registered to be a volunteer.
And we're out of here.
And we're out of here.
We've got 2 seconds. Have a good one.